Hello and welcome to World of Podcast, or World of Warcraft Podcast. This is Patch Show 4.5, where I'm going to continue talking about some of the changes that were made recently from 2.1.0 to 2.1.2. More specifically, I'm going to be talking about the 5-man Ogrela quests and the dragons that are up in the Blade's Edge Mountains area. There are 4 dragons up there that you can kill. They're easily 5-manable. I'm also going to talk about a couple bugs that I found after I recorded my last show. I'm actually going to give you the information that I meant to give you last show about what is potentially coming in 2.2, but I'm only going to say potentially because, as we all know, things in the future might change. And I'm also going to be doing a little bit of a non-WoW segue into why you absolutely fucking have to see the movie Transformers, especially if you're an old-school Transformers fan like myself. So, let's get started, shall we? So, first off, we're going to be talking about more of the daily quest stuff. I recently got my Epic Mount skill and my Epic Mount, and so I was able to start the Netherwing quest so I can get into some of them as well. We're going to talk about Ogrela first. I mentioned a lot of the Ogrela stuff in the last podcast. And there were a couple group quests that I just didn't get done until very recently. So now I can talk about them. One of them is you need to get this whip for somebody, Garak or so. I don't remember his name. But anyway, all it is you go up to one of the forge camps and there's these giant green crystals. If you've ever played a Blood Elf and been in the Blood Elf starting area, you see these sorts of crystals there, but they're also in these forge camps. And what you do is you put 35 Apexus shards into it, and it summons one of a couple different demons. You just kill the demon, and I think only one person actually can loot the whip each time. So if you have a full group of 5, and these guys are pretty easily 5-manable as long as you have a good tank, a good healer, and, you know, a good amount of DPS, just go kill them a couple times, do that. Also, each of these bosses drops a blue crystal. It's a blue item quality, I should say, crystal. And these are used to buy items from Ogrela. The blue items take 1 crystal, and the epic items take 4 crystals each, and then each of them also take Apexus shards. You don't actually buy these with gold. So what we ended up doing was I got into a nice little pickup group, and we decided, okay, everybody got their whip, now let's just keep going back and killing these demons until everybody has their 4 crystals, in case there was some epic item they wanted. And that worked out really well. We had a great little group, everyone had fun. We just went around, when you got a crystal, you passed until everybody else had it, and then we just started the rollover again. Didn't take extremely long. I think it maybe took us 45 minutes to an hour to get everybody 4 crystals. So we're talking 20 kills or something like that. Because you do have to wait for these crystals to respawn that you can summon the demons from. So killing those demons gets you that 1 whip, and that's worth like 25 gold. Hey, not bad. It was worth a pretty good amount of rep, too, if I remember right. Like 500, I think. And then there's another one that revolves around the Simon Says game, and it's a 5-man quest as well. Now, if you go to the area with the Simon Says quest area, little game area, there's 4 little sets of crystals that you do, and then there's 1 huge one. I think it's 35 Apexus shards again. I didn't insert my shards. But what you have to do is you need 5 people. You need 1 person on each color, basically, and then your 5th person, the best way to do this, we found, the 5th person watches and just types out some way to do it, like in our case, we did R for red, B for blue, Y for yellow, and G for green, so they would just type out the pattern things, and then whoever was standing on that color would hit it in the order that was said. And after you do a couple of them, this Apexus Guardian shows up, another 5-man boss. Just kill him, everybody can loot his head, and you go turn that quest in. That's worth another like 500 rep and like 25 gold. And those are non-repeatable. Both of those quests are non-repeatable. He also does drop the blue crystal and everything else like that, so you know, you get that sort of wonderful fun stuff so that you can buy everything. And again, damage casters. There is a really, really nice offhand that is at Ogrela. It's got decent stats and a decent amount of damage. You obviously could buy the offhands that are from the Shatar for Badges of Justice, which have a lot more damage for specific schools, but they have no stats. So if you don't want to sacrifice stats, the Ogrela quest reward is a very, very good alternative to that Badge of Justice ones. And I don't know, I haven't seen very many offhands coming out of the raids that are much better than this either, but I'm sure there are. But, you know, very, very helpful. There's a nice shield, I think, for tanking warriors and paladins. It's some nice stuff up there. I suggest going to do it. So, one of the other quests is called To Rule the Skies, and you get this from the little Skyguard outpost up next to Ogrela. And basically what it says is you have to go kill one of the dragons and bring the guy your teeth. That's only worth Skyguard rep, and when I did it, I was already fully exalted with the Skyguard, so I do not know exactly how much rep it's worth. But it's worth, again, about 25 gold, somewhere around there, so not too hard. So how do you get these dragons, you say? Well, they're flying around. You can see them, and if you fly too close to them, you can get shot out of the air by them. Just a warning when you're up there. What you want to do is you go to these little perches. There's two on the Ogrela plateau, and then over on the other plateau where the consortium, well, not the consortium, but the ethereal guys are, there's two more. You can go to any one of these. There's an egg. You put 35 Apexis shards, and this summons the dragon. Again, pretty easily five-manable. One or two of them has a fear. At least one of them has a tail swipe, so watch it when you're behind them, because it can knock you off the edge. As we found out, one of our hunters got knocked off the edge and died. That was actually pretty funny. So just watch where your positioning is. And once you kill them, you get the teeth to turn them in. Also, however, every time you kill one of these dragons, they drop a scale that is blue item quality. Everyone can pick it up. It does not show up for rolls. Everybody just walks up, picks it up off the body. Once you get all four scales, one from each dragon, you can turn them into a cloak. Now, these cloaks are actually not that bad. They're blue cloaks. They're bind on pickup. I actually ended up getting one that was, I think it's like the Deathbrood Drape of the Sorcerer or something like that. It was actually a little bit better than the cloak I was currently wearing. Gave me about 5 more damage and better stats, so I was like, yeah, I'll take it. There's a tanking cloak, there's a healing cloak, there's a DPS cloak. So it's definitely not bad stuff. However, the enchants are random when you make them. So what happens if you make a cloak that you don't exactly want? Well, apparently I haven't been able to do it because I made the cloak I wanted, obviously. But you can go to Ogrela, and one of the ogres will let you turn in the cloak you don't want for one of those blue crystals to buy stuff from Ogrela from. So that's not a bad deal. It's not like you're just ending up with a cloak that you have no use for besides selling stuff. You can actually go turn it in for these crystals. Although, I wouldn't say that most people are going to need more than 4 crystals, but you never know. Nicotine. So, anyway. These dragons, they're not that hard. Like I said, easily 5-manable. What we ended up doing was we actually 7-manned. We'd have 2 people that were out of the group helping DPS, and then when everybody got the scales, two of the DPSers would drop out and let the other 2 DPSers in while we went back to one of the other dragons to resummon them, because again, you have to wait for the egg to respawn. And we just did it till everybody got their 4 scales. This was an all-guild thing. It was great fun. You can just keep doing it if you want. I mean, if you don't get the cloak you want the first time, you can obviously just keep killing these guys and getting their scales. So these are pretty nice little things to do. They only drop greens as far as their loot and some money. So it's not like doing this is going to get you fat loots that way. But you can potentially get a pretty decent cloak out of the ordeal. So, as I said, I also ended up getting my epic mount skill. And I ended up getting my nether ray. I got a blue one. I actually think the red one probably looks the best, but I'm a frost mage, so, you know, blue, frost, that sort of stuff. A friend of mine who is a fire mage has a red one. It actually looks really good, because the whole thing is pretty red. The blue one, it doesn't have as much blue as I'd like. I really wish they'd recolor it a little bit to make it a little bit more blue on the back, but whatever. It's fast, it works, it's cool. I'm happy. You know, I did it. And for those of you who still haven't started the daily quests and don't think that they're worth a lot of money, after I bought my epic mount and the skill, I dropped down to 21 gold that night. 21 gold, that's all I had left. The very next day, I went and I started on my Netherwing quests and did my Skedis and Ogrelaw quests as well. Between the 9 quests I could do, the money drops I got while doing them, the gray drops that I sold while doing them, that next day I was back up to over 158 gold. So I made 137 gold profit just from those quests and selling the crap that I didn't need, the gray drops, that sort of stuff. These are a great way to make money. If you haven't started your daily quests, go start doing your daily quests. They really do build the money up. I only actually just bought this stuff like Tuesday, right before the server went down. And I now am back over 600 gold. And I think I didn't skip a day yet. But I'm back over 600 gold. And really all I've done as far as farming up money was done these daily quests. So this is not a bad way to make some money. We're talking 3 days, I'm up like 500 plus gold. Hey, I'm not going to complain. I'm really not. So, anyway, let's start talking about the Netherwing. Now, if you remember doing stuff in Shadowmoon, and there's that Blood Elf Hunter-looking guy walking around, and he started the Netherwing quest that would eventually get you up to Zuluhead the Whacked and everything else like that, could get you up to Neutral. Turns out I was wrong. The Zuluhead the Whacked, like the next part where you fly the dragon up, you do not need your 300 skill to do that. So you still can get to Neutral before getting your mount riding skill. Anyway, you go up and talk to him after you have your mount skill. And he will give you a real fast accept to turn in the quest type deal. And it's, you know, you become a blood brother of, or blood sister of the Netherwing. And then he'll give you another quest to go out to Netherwing Ledge, which has been completely revamped. It's completely different from what it used to be. You go out there, and as you're flying out there, even on a regular mount, because when I went out there the first time, I was still on my regular mount, you get transformed into a disguise. And your disguise is, you're a fell orc, always male, and I just guess they don't have female fell orc models in the game. But your mount also transforms into a fell orc dragon. So even if you're on a regular mount, you know, the 900 gold riding skill mount that only moves at 60% speed in the air, it bumps it up to 280% while you're on it. So, not bad. You get out there, you get a couple quests. There's a little goblin who's actually a Netherwing guy in disguise, and he'll give you some daily quests as well. So you talk to the one guy, and he sends you out to the guy in the middle of the thing. He will give you at least one quest, and then if you have gathering skills, he will give you a second quest. Now, if you don't have a gathering skill, he'll actually kind of scoff at you like, no skills to speak of, huh? But anyway, what these skills are is you get one quest to just go around and kill stuff and collect these Netherwing crystals off of the bodies. And you turn in 40 of them a day. These stack to 250, so you can collect if you really wanted to, you could collect 6 days worth in one day and just be all set for there. If you have gathering skills, if you have herbalism, there are netherwing blooms that pop around, or nether bush blooms, I guess they're called, and they will drop nether pollen or something like that, nether dust pollen, something weird like that. And you can turn in, I think it's 40, it's either 20 or 40 of them, but you can turn those in each day. If you are a skinner, you can go into the mines that are now underneath Netherwing Ledge, and there are rock flayers, and you go and you kill them, and you skin them, and they drop their hides, and you can turn in, it's either 20 or 40. Again, my character doesn't have any gathering skills, so I don't know. And then if you're a miner, there is also netherite ore that you can get, and these are found, there's these huge, huge mining nodes that you can't miss. They're gigantic. And again, 20 or 40 of them, I don't know exactly how many. So, as someone without any gathering skills, I can only do the crystals. So I went into the mines, and I just started killing stuff to get the crystals. And I made sure that I set myself up so that I wouldn't have to collect that many crystals each day. You know, first day I spent a lot of time in there, got like 60-some-odd crystals so that I could just go back in, collect a couple, and, you know, keep it going that way. Well, you turn these in, and it's worth Netherwing rep, even though you're doing stuff for the Fel Orcs. The Little Goblin will give you two other quests. Actually, three other quests. One is to find a Netherwing egg, and then after you turn in the Netherwing egg, that then becomes completely repeatable, not daily, whatever it's worth. I think 250 rep a turn in. The other two are a slow death, it's called, and what you do is he gives you this mutton, and you have to go back to the mainland of Shadow Moon Valley and start killing Dimitrodons and boars and the chimeras that are flying around. And you end up getting these fel glands, and you have to go poison 12 fel or peon camps. And you can't miss the camps if you see the peons clinking away at the crystals. Now, the only problem I have with this quest is the drop rate for the fel glands is kind of crap, and I really don't understand why, because this isn't like a grinding quest. This isn't a quest that you get before you're level 70, and thus you're getting XP for it. You have to be level 70, and you have to have your epic riding skill to even get the quest, so why is the drop rate such crap? I don't know. Obviously, it's the whole time sink thing, but whatever. One of the things that I've found also is it can bug out, and you can drop the meat next to the peon camps, and they just won't do anything. In which case, you have to go back and get another fel gland to replace the one that you just wasted. So what I've ended up doing to make my life a little bit easier is I go, I collect my 12, I'll put down 10 or 11, depending on if it bugs out on me or not, normally 11, and then I'll go back and get back up to 12 fel glands so that the next day I only have to go and farm one gland when I want to go do it. And that's worth, I guess, 11 gold, 99 silver, you know, 12 gold, and a 250 rep. And then the other quest he gives you is called the Not-So-Friendly Skies. And what you do with this is he tells you up on one of the parts of the ledge there's a dock. And you can't miss it. Ooh, pardon me, a little yawn there. The dock has these two giant elites. You don't want to be near them. But then there's these two big floating rocks off the coast, I guess you'd want to call it, off of the area. You go out to them and you see these transporters flying around. Well, you start killing the transporters, and they'll drop these Netherwing relics that actually look like blue bijus from Zul'Gurub. That's the icon they use. Which is actually funny because the icon that the Netherwing eggs use is the Skin of Shadows icon. So, you know, good job coming up with new icons there, Blizzard. But anyway, you just kill these guys, and you get the quest items. You get 10 of them, you go turn it in, and that's a daily quest as well. Now, the interesting thing about these guys is they're hunters after you get them off their mount. They don't have a dead zone, so they're right on top of you, and they're aim-shotting you for, like, 3K, hitting for 3K, not critting, hitting. And they're able to shoot and serpent sting you without, like, the whole, you know, in the hunter dead zone, which I find kind of ironic. So, you do these quests, and it only took me about 2 days of doing these. My second day, I got lucky, and I got 3 eggs, so that helped me out, too, and I got up to friendly. Then you get a quest to go talk to the main dude of the camp again, and he gives you this little trinket that you can use to summon another drake to fight for you while you're only on the Netherwing Ledge. Or maybe it's only in Shadow Moon Valley. It's one of them. Okay? So, then you go back out, and if you look around, there's a new quest that you can get, and this is for your Boodorang. And you go over, the guy says he wants 10 knot hide leather and this hardened carapace of this devil sore like beast walking around one of the Echo Domes in Netherstorm. Not that hard. If you're a skinner, obviously it's even easier. I ended up, I was killing a whole bunch of Dimetrodons at the time, and this hunter came up behind me, and he just started skinning everything I was leaving behind. So I turned around and I asked him, hey, how much would it cost me for 7 knot hide leather? Because I already had 3 from I had sent over from my druid at one point when I was doing tailoring. And he gave it to me, and I'm like, how much you want? He's like, free. So I gave him 7 gold anyway. I'm like, here, just for your trouble. He was just happy because I was, of course, looting all my bodies, and so he could skin. So worked out pretty good there. Then I just went up, killed the Devil Sore. He's not hard. It just drops off, and you don't even need to skin him. You go up, you get your Boodorang. And then the Boodorang becomes a daily quest. You go around, and you'll see these disobedient peons. Some of them just have, like, this confused icons going around their head. Some of them are sleeping. And then others are actually, like, glowing red like they are enraged. And those are actually some of the funnier ones, because if you get near them, you'll hear them, they'll be like, oh, me no work, work is da poop. You know, like, nobody tell me what to do anymore. But anyway, you can just fly around on your mount, and you just have to get within range, and you throw your Boodorang at them. And if you're close enough, you'll see them say some things that are really, really funny. Like, why you throw the Boodorang on my skin? You know, like that's, and some of them are really funny. And it sends them back to work. You got to do 20 of these peons, disobedient peons, and then you turn in your Boodorang, but you get it back each day, so don't worry. And get your gold and your rep. I've only done this quest once. I did it when I turned in my quest to make my Boodorang, I hit honored. So then I was told to go back to the guy, and I got a new trinket that works outside of Shadow Moon Valley, but I think outside of instances as well. It has to be like outdoors. And then I also could walk up to another guy, and he gave me the quest to start the races, which I have not yet started, because I don't have a riding crop or all the riding enchants to do these. So I'll explain those at a later show. So, how do you get eggs? Pretty simple. Oh, I'm sorry, wait. Well, and then you also get another quest to go talk to this demon, like this Mistress of the Mines. You go down there, and she gives you a quest to bring back these ore carts, like the, I don't know what you want to call it, just the stuff inside these carts. And you notice them, you'll see a bunch of empty carts, but then you'll see carts with ore in them. You just collect 15 of these, bring them back, you're all set. And then one of the other guys, two of the guys, I actually get a really funny screenshot of one of them. There's these two foremen walking around, they each give you the same quest called Dragons Are the Least of Our Concerns, and that's to go kill 15 of the Flayers and 5 of the little Ravagers walking around. But one of them, my first day, I walk in there, and the one guy has an exclamation point the size of a doll's exclamation points over top of him. So he's walking around with this enormous exclamation point. I was just laughing my ass off when I saw it. But anyway, you go down here into the mines and you just start killing things. Killing things is what you need to do in these mines, just period, okay? What you want to do is you want to kill every creature you see in the mine that you're not fighting with other people to kill. And there are three reasons for this. The first is every creature down there drops a gray item, or money, or cloth, okay, depending on if it's a humanoid or whatever. The second is each item, or each creature, can drop these Netherwing crystals, so you can stock up on the Netherwing crystals. And the third is from the little black blood of Draenor, I think they're called, Draenor. There's little slime things. You kill them, and they can drop these, what do they call it, sludge-encrusted item. You open up these items, and they can be a gray item, or they could be Nethersite ore, or they could be Ravager hides, or they could be Nether pollen. Or whatever it's called, nether dust, whatever that pollen is called. So, even as a non-gatherer, you can collect these, and these do not soul bind. So you could end up giving them to friends, you could sell them on the auction house, you could put them in a bank character for one of your alts that is one of these professions, that sort of stuff. Give them to guildmates, whatever. So you can make these little extra things. Unfortunately, two of the gray items are crap, okay? You get this Murkblood mining pick. And so you think, oh, neat, a mining pick. It doesn't stack, maybe it'll be worth something. No, 2 copper. That's all it's worth. 2 copper. Yeah, waste of bag space there. I still haven't destroyed any because I run around with a lot of bag space, but that's just me. And the other one is this Vial of Tears, and I guess that was about the people who cried about the daily quests. And again, 2 copper. Whatever. But then you can get the... here's the funny one. You can get sludge. So you get sludge-covered sludge. But that's actually worth 2 silver 50, so that's not too bad. And it stacks to 100. So, whereas the mining pick and the vial of tears don't stack to anything. But, again, good way to make money. You go kill your ravagers, kill your flares, get your mining carts. There's another guy down there with a non-repeatable quest to go kill. There's these, like, enraged Murkblood workers and foremen. Got to go kill, like, 5 workers and 1 foreman. And also, as you're killing creatures, once you are friendly, you can sometimes get this quest item that drops. It looks like a stack of newspapers, really. And it's just this non-daily quest. It's escape plans for the Murkblood. And then you go and you take it back to the Maiden of the Mines, and she tells you to go interrogate this one of these foremen, which are in the flare areas, and bring back his hand. And the interesting thing here is the guy actually talks to you, knows that you're not a fell orc, says that the Netherwing have been talking to them and everything else like that. It's why they made the escape plans to begin with. And then he cuts off his own hand and gives it to you. Like, you don't even have to fight the guy. He just says, it's a sacrifice I'm willing to make. And then you go and you turn that in. And so at this point, collecting the ore from the carts is now a daily quest, and so is killing the flayers and the ravagers. So you're starting to get a couple daily quests, and collecting the ore is actually worth over 18 gold. So that's a really nice little quest right there. So I just run around and I just destroy everything down there. I collect grays like no tomorrow. I normally end up walking out of that area, the mine area, with 14 to 15 gold worth of grays by the time I'm done all 3 of those quests that I can do in that area, which would be the crystals, the carts, and the flayers and the ravagers. So we're looking at 24... like 42 gold just from the quests, but then we're looking at another like 14 gold in grays. You know, I'm making money hand over fist. These quests, they're worth a good amount of change. I suggest doing them. Even if you don't yet have your epic mount, even if you just get the skill but don't want to spend the money on the mount yet. And remember, though, if you decide to get your epic mount, you can go to the Skyguard if you're exalted with them, and you actually get a discount on your mount. Instead of being 200, it's only 180, so you save 20 gold. Again, quests are worth a great amount of money. The rep is pretty quick. I'm actually... Oh, am I honored now? Yeah, I'm honored now. After 3 days, I'm honored. That's right. And there's another reason that you wanted to kill the creatures that I don't know why it just completely skipped my mind until now. And that is the Netherwing eggs. You can sometimes just find them lying around. They look like these, they kind of look like pods with spikes coming out of them. You'll sometimes just see one. You collect an egg from them. Also, though, when you kill creatures, they sometimes carry eggs, so you can get them that way. Now, if you're also one of the gathering professions, I don't know about the skinning one, but I know for the mining and I know for the herbalism that when you mine out the nether site or collect the nether pollen, you sometimes can get an egg from them as well. So, great. Now, the eggs do bind on pickup, so you can't just sell them, just as a warning. So, you know, I've been lucky at getting at least one egg a day. I try to go for more if I can, but I'm not going to go out of my way. I'll just kill till I get one. Because finding them, they don't spawn that often, and obviously if there's more people down there, it's going to be hard to get to them because everybody's going to go running for them. But these quests aren't hard. The peons can be a bit tedious if there's multiple people doing it, because then obviously everybody's trying to get the same damn peons. But overall, these are pretty quick. You can do at least three of them all in the same area once you're friendly, and they don't take very long. You collect the ore carts, you collect, kill the flayers and ravagers, and you collect the crystals. Boom, those are all done. They're all done in the same little area. And so you've really done three quests worth of work for just running around killing shit. Can't go wrong. I have yet to do the race quests, like I said. My brother did finish them all, and he said that the last one was really a bitch. But I'll get to them after I do them. I will also come back to this later on after I find out if there's any new quests that I can do. Because I'm already at that point now, though, between the Netherwing, the Skyguard, and Ogrela, that I can do more than my allotted 10 daily quests a day. However, because I have all four of those crystals for Ogrela now, my main focus is getting my Ogrela rep up. So, I'm going to be doing the Skyguard quests up there, the bombing run and the wrangling the Aether Rays, and the Ogrela quests to banish the demons and the bombing run. Because I want to get to Exalted with them, I want to get that offhand for my mage, because I don't want to give up stats, that many stats for the damage. I mean, I'd be giving up a lot of health and a lot of mana, which also equates to spell crit, if I were to go to the ones from the Badges of Justice. So I'd really like to keep like a good even stats and damage. And I'm up to 892 damage now, so getting this offhand is going to put me up another 10 damage. So I'll be at 902 frost damage right now. Not too bad. So I'm going to do those quests, get myself up to Exalted with Ogrela, and then I'll worry about doing all 9 quests per day over at the Ogrela, because I actually just got another quest from the Netherwing. And what you do is you have to go over to Nagrand, to the... There's that one forge camp, and then there's like an area that you can fly to behind it, and there's, you know, all this demon stuff. And you get a daily quest to go kill shit there. Well, oh, pardon me. Obviously, I was done all 10 quests this morning, so I was like, nope, can't do it. So, I mean, I have plenty to pick and choose from when it comes to getting quests done and making money. And once the rest of you guys are up to this point, you're going to feel the same way. At that point, you know, when you have reached the point where you can do every single daily quest in the game, or close to it or whatever, you really do have to pick and choose. You have to look at what is the most important to you. I decided to do the Skyguard first because that would get me the money for my epic mount, and I could buy an epic mount from them. If I didn't have the crystals, I would probably do the Netherwing stuff next, because, you know, obviously I don't have the things to buy the Ogrela stuff. However, because I got into that one group and we went around and did all that, I got my crystals to buy my Ogrela stuff. So to me, getting the Nether Drake mount is now not as important as getting that offhand. So that's what you have to look at. You have to look at what the rewards are and then decide what you are going to go for first. Because once you have the opportunity to pick and choose your daily quests, it really comes down to, are you just looking for money? In which case, your Netherwing quests are probably the best bet. Or are you looking for certain items as rewards? In which case, then you're looking at the Ogrela, maybe Skyguard. They have those trinkets that some people might like. And I honestly don't know what sort of Netherwing rep rewards there are. I haven't found the guy that gives them out. Mainly because I haven't looked. Like I said, at this point, I want the offhand from Ogrela. So you just have to make that decision. And then once you do everything, you now have this incredibly easy way to make money every day. Most of the quests, like I said, you can get done a good chunk of them in about 45 minutes to an hour. And it's just free money. So you can't go wrong here. A couple little bugs that I do want to mention, however. When you go to the Southern Forge Camp up at the Ogrela area, there are these giant infernals walking around. And if you haven't been there, but you've been to the Arcatraz, you've seen these infernals. And I don't know if the ones in the Arcatraz are doing the same thing or not. However, the ones at this forge camp are a bit bugged. When they die, their body actually falls beneath the ground, and you can't loot it. So what I found that I have to do, even as a squishy mage, is be right on top of the guy when he dies, so that I can click his body as soon as he dies to loot him. Otherwise, I lose out on the loot. And we've lost out on at least a green doing this, because I was running around with a friend of mine, and we both could see that we could loot it, and we're like, shit. But, you know, because could have been green, could have been a blue, you know, could have been a world drop epic. One of the one of my mage friends, she was running around killing the flayers in the Netherwing mine, and she ended up getting a world drop epic. And it was it's a pretty nice healing cloak. It's actually really nice. It's got like 66 healing, like 5 mana per 5. It's actually pretty nice. We ended up giving it to one of the priests we know. So get on top of them. I know at least one of the dragons can bug out and not summon correctly when you try to summon her from her egg. You actually have to look for her and make sure she's somewhere nearby when you do it, or else she might not spawn. Or might not fly down, I guess I should say is the correct term. So that could waste you 35 shards. GMs are aware of that part. I don't know if they're aware of the stuff disappearing. Those are like the two. They're not even major bugs, but they're the ones that I know of that came out with the patch. There's been something else that I've been noticing and other people have been noticing, and I don't know exactly when it started. And it's just annoying. It's not that it's really a shitty thing. It's just annoying is that sometimes I'll be, you know, I'll target something, I'll start spellcasting, and I'm not touching my tab key or my mouse or anything, and all of a sudden I lose target. And I don't know why. It's just a pain. I mean, it takes an extra half a second to retarget the guy, but I don't know why it is. I really prefer to not have it happen, but as far as bugs go, it definitely could be much worse. So, and the same thing, that looting bug, I mean, it can be a pain in the ass, but as far as bugs go, it's definitely not game-breaking. It can just be, oh, I missed out a little bit of silver, maybe an Apex of Shard, maybe a green, and, you know, maybe a Mark of Sargeras. But other than that, it's not exactly the end of the world with these bugs. They're little tiny things that hopefully will be fixed fairly shortly. So if you remember last show, I actually mentioned in my intro that I was going to talk about something that I had read about and that it was potentially confirmed for 2.2. However, being the dumbass that I am, I never fucking got around to doing it. But last month or the month before, Games for Windows had a little article come out, and they were talking with the Blizzard guys, and they mentioned a few things that some people were like, oh yay, you know, some people were like really happy about it, I'm personally kind of happy about it. Other people are kind of, you know, they're like, oh my god, it's gonna suck, but one of them was a guild bank feature is getting ready to be implemented, and what this will do is allow your guild leader to create literally a guild bank that members can put stuff into. The guild leader can then give permissions as to who can take stuff out, that sort of stuff. That's actually going to be a pretty nice feature in my mind. It will definitely allow me to kill two of my characters that are in on my server, my main server, because they're just bank characters that I mainly use mostly for the guild, not even for myself. They're mainly for the guild. And so, but that means I can't have that, you know, all my characters on one server. So that'll let me get rid of them. It's going to be a nice one. Now, Tiger Claw, who is a Blizzard poster, I don't know his real name. He's most active on the Mac technical support forums. He's apparently part of their Blizzard's Macintosh team. He's really good with information on the Mac support forums. As far as the technical support forums go, the Mac ones are some of the best ones on Blizzard forums. And I'm not just saying that because I have a Mac. I'm saying it because they really are. These guys, they come in, they answer questions. They really, really give you information. They give out their email addresses. And, you know, when people were having problems with the ATI Radeon X1900, I think, on the new Mac Pros, there was this major overheating problem happening. And so they were like, you know, send us your error files. Here's the email address. Put your character name in this so that we know who's sending it, that sort of stuff. And that eventually actually turned out to be ATI's fault. There was a slight problem with at least one batch of cards that came out, and Apple ended up replacing those cards for free. You know, Blizzard had said they were working with Apple, all that stuff. But anyway, so he's one of these Mac support guys. He's pretty spot on when he talks about stuff. Well, the other thing that this Games for Windows had talked about was that Blizzard is planning on adding a voiceover IP function directly into World of Warcraft. And Tigerclaw, a couple weeks back, came out and said that they were planning on having it in 2.2. I don't know if this means that the Guild Bank will also be in 2.2, but that the voiceover IP, they were planning on having it ready for 2.2. So, voiceover IP. For those of you who don't know what voiceover IP is, and, you know, there's probably quite a few people who don't, because it's not exactly the world's most well-known term. Voiceover IP is basically voice over the internet. There are many programs that people use in games, the two most popular ones being Ventrilo or TeamSpeak. Those are voiceover IP programs. There is the Skype program, which basically lets your computer act like a telephone. That is not really that often used in World of Warcraft or other games, but people use it for other things. And so Skype is another voiceover IP program. So, Blizzard is planning on adding voiceover IP to World of Warcraft. Now, they have specifically mentioned that at the beginning, at least, it'll probably pretty much stay this way, because otherwise it'll get really annoying. But at the beginning, it's mainly going to be, or it's only going to be, in parties and raids. You've got a lot of people right now, though, who are like, oh my god, this is going to be the end of the world. I don't want to hear these people talk, so turn your fucking volume off. Okay? You know, oh, people are going to kick us because they don't have a mic. Then they're dumb. All right? all it means is that people can say, you know, talk and get things across faster. This is going to be a help for those people who don't necessarily have the other voice over IP programs. One of the paladins in my guild is actually a younger kid, and he's not allowed to download Ventrilo or TeamSpeak onto his parents' computer. So when we're doing raids, we have to type stuff out for him. Well, now, since it'll be built into the game, he won't need a mic. But now he can hear what we're saying, and thus we don't have to type it out. Everybody will be able to just hear it, and we can talk about it. Now, how they implement this is up for debate. It could be great. I've played a couple games with integrated voiceover IP that worked phenomenally. Okay, Unreal Tournament 2004 had integrated voiceover IP, and it was absolutely phenomenal in how it worked. It was just, you know, you pressed, I think it was the F key or the G key, one of those two, and it activated the voice. It only talked to your team, that sort of stuff. So, I mean, it was really nice in how it did it. If Blizzard takes an approach like that, it'll work. Now, obviously, people are asking, why would you want to add voice over IP? Well, a lot of people use Ventrilo and TeamSpeak. They really do, especially raiding guilds. Some people, however, might have computers that they don't want to use it on. They feel it'll take up too much bandwidth, whatever. I find they don't take up that much bandwidth, but, you know, that's personal choice there. Other people, you'll end up with a group that, or a guild, I should say, that's all Windows users and like one or two Mac users. But the Windows users who run the TeamSpeak or the Ventrilo server won't add the Speaks codec, that's S-P-E-E-X codec, which means that the Mac users can't use their Ventrilo or their TeamSpeak. They can't hear anything and they can't say anything if the Speaks codec is not on there. So this built-in voiceover IP is basically going to be platform agnostic. It'll probably end up using the Speaks codec because that works on both Windows and Mac, and I believe it also works on Linux and everything else like that. So it'll be platform agnostic. It will allow everybody, no matter what your operating system, therefore, to get involved, either just listening or speaking and listening. Obviously, I don't ever think they're going to make like general chat or trade chat go this way. They may make guild chat, but I'm not going to say that's going to happen. But they're really looking at party and raids. Now, honestly, if general or trade chat had that, I'd probably blow my head off, because there's enough idiots anyway that I don't need to hear them say, you know, want to sell that, you know, or, you know, whatever the fuck they're going to say. So party and raid I can deal with. I think it'll be nice for those people, like I said, like that one paladin in my guild who just is not allowed, because of his age, to download these things onto his parents' computer. But now it'll make it easier for us in raids. When we have to tell them what to do, we can just say it. You've got a bunch of people that are like, I don't want to hear these people. Then I'd say just turn off your mic then. Or turn off your headphones, or turn the sound off. I'm sure there's going to be options to do stuff. It's not going to be forced upon you. You're going to be able to say yes or no to having it on. With luck, you'll be able to mute certain people. Like if you get into a group with just this really annoying shithead, you can either mute him, or the leader of the group will kick him, hopefully. But all in all, I don't see this as a bad thing. I see this as a good thing. As of right now, it is potentially coming in 2.2. I don't want to say definitely, because we all know Blizzard, and we all know how projects like this tend to go. You say you'd like to get something out at a certain point, and the coding just isn't right, it's just not working right, whatever. So this obviously is something that they're hoping to get for the next patch. Or the next content patch, I should say. 2.2 is the next content patch. Now, I don't know if there's going to be any other real content. Maybe 2.2 is just the voiceover IP patch. Maybe it's the voiceover IP plus the guild bank. Maybe there's going to be more stuff. We don't know. They haven't really gone into any sort of talk about what's coming out in the near future. So, voiceover IP. Love it, hate it, it's coming. It doesn't matter. Hopefully there'll be enough options that everyone can be happy, and we're all going to have a good time with this. Now, before I get into the Transformers part, I did want to bring up something else. And this is a wonderful, wonderful set of armory tools. And they are Anti-Arcs WoW Armory Tools. You can find these at wow.tachyon6.com/armory. That's wow.tachyon6.com/armory. And he's got a lot of cool stuff. He's got like a trade skill listing generator. You click it, it sends you to the, you put in your guild name and the realm, and it will give you the trade skills that everybody has in the guild. Guild class statistics comparison generator, pretty self-explanatory. Reputation faction comparison, again, pretty self-explanatory. Arena team comparison, pretty self-explanatory. He's got a nice heroic key listing generator. Now, what this does is it doesn't actually tell you which keys you have or that your members of your guild have, but what it does tell you is that they have the rep level to buy the key. So, again, it's just going off the reputation. And then he's got an image generator for signatures, for forum posts and stuff. And on my own forums, I have switched over to this for my mage. And there's quite a few little options you can do. Like for mine, I have my frost damage, says 892. I have 677 overall spell damage. I have a 2.9x3% spell hit percentage. 9.06 spell crit percentage, and I also put my health at 7163. This reads off the armory, so as you update and when the armory updates, your signature will automatically update. It gives my talent spec on it, 6055. It says that I'm a 375 enchanter and a 375 tailor. It's nice. It's really nice. It's a nice little graphic. It's thin, it's just about the right width, so it's pretty nice. I also actually happen to talk to the author of this, and I am potentially going to try to set up an interview with him and maybe somebody else if I can get them. Because the author of this also works on Threat 1.0 and Omen for the Ace 2 mods, Threat 1.0 and Omen. Well, Threat 1.0 is just a threat aggregator, I guess you could say. And then Omen is the threat meter that works off of Threat 1.0. They're hoping to get it to work better than KTM and or KLH, whichever it's called. KTM, I think, is what it is, but then it's KLH threat meter or whatever. But they're hoping to get it to be more processor-friendly, that sort of stuff. I haven't yet tried it out. They're not yet up to a stable release, but other people are saying for what they have, it's really good. Threat 1.0 is also built into a couple other Ace 2 mods, such as Pitbull, which is a unit frames mod, which I'm trying out, but not exactly liking. I'm going to have to see if I can, you know, find out some of the ways to get these options going. But so if I can get this interview, it'd be kind of neat. I think that I'm definitely interested, and I'm hoping that a lot of you guys are interested in hearing why people make these add-ons. Why do people make these sorts of tools that work with the armory? Like, what's the reasoning? And how hard is it? You know, is it something that you can pick up and learn? Can you learn the .lua scripting language very easily? That sort of stuff. So this is something that I'm hoping to have soon. I talked to him in-game on his server, and he's potentially up for it. It's going to depend on if I can get my recording software to work properly with Skype, because it's not working. They're not playing well together right now, and I'm not liking that. But that'd be something interesting. I guess on a related note, I've recently switched over my UI almost completely. I've decided to go mostly Ace 2 add-ons because they're generally less memory and processor intensive. I also like the fact that most of the Ace 2 mods allow you to set up a profile, which means that, you know, I can go to a new server, start up a character, and I can, if I want my profile to be exactly the same as it is on one of my other characters, I can just load up that profile and save it, and that's there. I'm using quite a few now. FUBAR. I've moved from FUBAR, or to FUBAR from Titan Panel. I found that FUBAR used less resources, offered more of what I wanted. I'm using quite a few FUBAR plugins, although I'm actually cutting back on a lot of the ones that I don't really use that often anymore. I've decided to go to Bartender 3 as my unit or my bar mod. And Bartender 3 is really nice in the fact that you can have, like, 10 action bars set up. I can set them up if I wanted to. I only actually have 5 showing. But if I wanted to, I can actually have them set up to disappear when I'm not mousing over them. So I can have that minimalist look if I want. I can scale them. One of the really nice things I like about them is they have a snap to feature. So when I start setting up, like, I have them set up 3 horizontal, 2 vertical, and I have them, you know, on top of each other and then next to the vertical ones. So I set up my vertical one where I want it to. I can put the next vertical one next to it, and it snaps to it. So then I just set it up. Then I set my first horizontal, and then I snap to the vertical and the horizontal. So everything's nice and organized. It's got a nice little GUI set up. It's very nice. I've gone to Elk Buff Bars, I think it's called, for my buffs. It's very similar to the CT buff mod, but it's a little bit more customizable, I think. All in all, I'm really liking the UI I'm using. I do recommend, for those of you with a lot of mods, okay, somebody recommended this to me. And actually two things. One is called Simple Minimap, which actually lets you scale your minimap size. And the really nice thing about it, besides being able to make it a square minimap, that sort of stuff, is it has a little coordinates mod built in. So it actually tells you what coordinates you're standing on at the time. So that's kind of cool. Right on the minimap, as a matter of fact. But there's this other one called Minimap Button Bag, or I have to look it up exactly, but what it does is it takes pretty much all your minimap buttons and puts them inside of one other minimap button. So now your minimap's not this cluttered piece of crap. It's nice and organized. You just click it opens up, and then all of a sudden you can go over and click on the little icons to do your things with. So I'm pretty happy with that. I've gotten the new Gatherer, and I'm very happy that they finally added in the sharing that was part of another add-on that other people had made, and that the Gatherer people at first were like, oh, we're not going to add this, it's not right. But enough people finally did it, and I guess they just finally said, all right, well, look, if we're going to do it, we might as well make sure it works. And so what it does now is you can set it up to share between your party and your guild. So when you hit a new node, it will send out that information to your guild, and those people running the new Gatherer will get that node added to their Gatherer. It's really nice. You can get into a little party, and you can share all your nodes. It's wonderful, actually. It does use up a lot of memory, but it's pretty nice. I am having a slight problem I have to figure out. I added an add-on or two recently, and my memory usage has gone up majorly, so I need to look and see which add-ons are using up this memory, because they're claiming FUBAR is doing it. And when I talked to, I guess Antiarch is the name he's going by, he said it sounded like another add-on is using FUBAR's library, and it's just blaming FUBAR for it. So it's like a redundant library usage. But overall, I'm liking my new UI. I'm using Pratt 2.0 for my chat. That works quite well. So, check out some of these add-ons. They're all, the newest versions are always located at files.wowace.com. And as you're scrolling through, you'll see dates in like a middle column. That is the newest update. That was when they updated it last. So if you want to keep yourself up to date, you can do that. You can also get a WoW Ace or an Ace updating program, I guess it's called. I don't really know. I haven't really fooled around with it too much. I don't use enough mods that I have to update all that many at one time, but it is another program that you can set up to look, you know, go to certain sites, look and see if they're updated, and just update. So I guess that was kind of a long segue for my little add-on part, but yes, hopefully I'll have an interview soon with at least this one add-on author and the author of these WoW Armory tools. And again, you can go to wow.tachyon6, that's tachyonsix.com/armory, and check out these armory tools, which are really nice, and they're really helpful to guilds, I think. So go ahead and check them out. Leave the guy some comments. You think he gives an email, or you can go visit him on a server and send him a mail or whatever. Let him know if you like him. So getting into a little non-World of Warcraft-related stuff. Go see Transformers. Yes, I've said it. I saw it on the 3rd. I went in with very, very low expectations. I basically thought that I was going to go in there and my childhood was going to be ruined. Because, yes, I'm an old fart. I remember watching the Transformers on television. I remember when the original Transformers, the movie, came out. And I really was hoping that, you know, this movie wouldn't destroy my childhood, and it ended up not. It actually was an excellent, excellent movie. Probably Michael Bay's best movie to date. Not that that's saying a whole lot, but I was very impressed overall with the movie. There was a nice amount of comedy in there. The action sequences were top-notch. The shit. Peter Cullen came back to do Optimus Prime's voice. Hello. Ironically, they didn't use Frank Welker as the voice of Megatron, which, while I thought would have been cool, apparently I read something where they said that they felt that his voice had aged too much, and so instead it's now Hugo Weaving doing Megatron. However, he doesn't have very many lines, so it's not that huge of a deal. He actually just doesn't talk that much. But it turned out to be a really, really good movie. I was especially impressed with the scale of the Transformers when you saw them. I was very, very impressed when they had Transformers mixed with live-action elements. And they did a lot of live-action stunt elements that they then put the Transformers into. So they're... It's not all computer-generated when you see the Transformers. Like, if there's cars flipping over or, you know, stuff going on like that, it's not all computer-generated. It is a mixture of live-action elements that they did right there, and then they added in the Transformers afterwards, and what it ended up looking was absolutely perfect. You cannot tell the difference between the live-action and the computer-generated Transformers. They really took a lot of time integrating these into each scene so that they looked like they were really there. I was absolutely astounded by it. A couple characters are there that are, you know, some are a lot different from what they used to be. Megatron is not a gun. He's a Cybertronian jet, just so everyone knows. Optimus Prime is still a semi, but he doesn't have the trailer, which was part of the toy in the cartoon. Let's see. The Autobots, they have Optimus Prime, Ratchet, Ironhide, Jazz, and Bumblebee. Now, apparently Bumblebee, originally they wanted him to be a Volkswagen Beetle like he was in the cartoon and the toys. However, Volkswagen did not want to let them use a Volkswagen Beetle as a Transformer. So he's now a Camaro. And actually, early on in the show, or in the movie,
when you get to see Bumblebee pretty much for the first time, it's like, you know, 2 seconds after you first see him, he's next to a yellow Volkswagen Beetle, which was a little homage to what he was. God, the chick in the movie is hot. Yeah, that's about all I can say about her. This Megan Fox chick, she's fucking gorgeous. There's, as with all Michael Bay movies, there's a couple things in it that you kind of go, what was the point of that? There's this whole issue with this Australian girl, and I don't remember his name. He's a black actor. He's pretty funny. He's a comedian, kind of heavy set. He's been in a couple things. He was in Me, Myself, and Irene as one of the kids. You know, he's funny. But the whole little segue with these characters just didn't really seem to fit in with the rest of the movie. So, but I guess that's Michael Bay for you. But overall, I mean, we're talking incredible, incredible movie. I loved it. I want to see it again. And I cannot wait for the DVD to come out because I want to see all the special features. And I'll tell you right now, if there aren't a lot of special features, I'm killing somebody at the movie studio because this movie deserves to have a shit ton of special features put on it. Like how they did the special effects, how they integrated the computer generated with the live action. Where they came up with the idea for the transforming, like how they transformed and everything. It turned out to be one of the best movies I've seen in a while. It's not getting that great of reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. It's only at like a 60%, which is just barely above fresh. But, you know, I look at some of the reviews and some of the stuff that they talk about, and I'm like, well, what did you expect? You know, it has a story. The story pretty much flows, except for, like I said, the Australian girl and the black guy. Like, that part doesn't flow that well. But most of the story, it flows pretty well from beginning to end. You've got pretty good characterizations. The actual Transformers, except for Bumblebee and Frenzy. It's not actually Soundwave, it's Frenzy. Except for Bumblebee and Frenzy, don't actually start showing up until a good half hour into the movie. So there's a lot of human character development going on early on. And then there's a little bit of Transformer character development, mostly on the Autobot side. There's not a whole lot of Decepticon character development, really. Most of the Decepticons are only in for about the last 20 minutes of the movie, except for Frenzy, really. And, you know, you're looking at some of this, and you see it, and you just go, wow. There were points where we were... Our jaws were just hanging open. Like, how the fuck did they do this? There's actually an homage to the original Transformers movie in a line that Optimus Prime says, which I'll not spoil because I just thought it was cool. However, I think it would have been 10 times cooler had they done the whole 3 lines that happen. And I'll just leave it at that. Obviously, it's before Optimus Prime dies in the original Transformer movie, so you can figure out what it is. But, overall, if you're a Transformers fan, go see this movie. It definitely did not destroy my childhood. As a matter of fact, what we decided to do to be, you know, the geeks that we are, me, Bill, Derek, Nathan, Derek's brother, his girlfriend, and then two of Derek's brother's friends ended up showing up late, but we ended up watching my DVD of the original, the Transformers, the movie, the animated one from 1986, and then we went up to the theater and watched the new one. And so, you know, we're geeks. And we were laughing, of course, during the whole animated one because of the cheesy 80s music and stuff like that, and how it was just a blatant... I mean, the story just jump back and forth, left and right, all over the place in that one. But it was just, you know, trying to introduce the new toys that were being brought out back then. But, so then we went in, and we all came out, and we were talking about it for a good half hour, hour after we were done. Me, Bill, and Nathan in the same car. We were we were just really impressed with a lot of what happened. We were just generally overall happy. It's definitely something. If you're a fan of Transformers, you should go see this. If you're a fan of action movies, you should go see this. There's some really nice action scenes going on that, whether you like the Transformers or not, you'll probably like the action scenes. There is an awesome, awesome scene with Starscream flying with a whole bunch of other human jets. That's just absolutely perfect. It blew our minds. We were like, wow, that was great. So, yeah. I mean, I'm just rambling at this point. But it was a great movie. Go see Transformers. I loved it. I give it a huge thumbs up. You know, I don't know if I'd give it 5 stars, but I'd give it a 4-star rating or whatever. Definitely a must-see movie. See it in the theaters if you really can, because that's where you're going to get the biggest experience from the explosions and just the size of the screen with the Transformers. Definitely, definitely go see Transformers.
So I guess that pretty much wraps up another episode here. Like I said, go do your daily quests, get your money, get your rep, damage casters you want, or la rep, it's nice offhand. Get your mounts, you know, I mean, we're talking easy money here. The little bugs, they're not horrible. You know, okay, fine, so you have to be on top of the Infernals. Melee classes are going to be there anyway. Casters, hunters, you just have to be on top of them when they die, or else you can't loot them. Just watch out for the bugging peons now and then. And overall, just have a good time. Check out the Antiarch's armory tools. Again, they are located at wow.tachyon6.com/armory. That's tachyonsix.com. Check them out. See what you like. There's a lot of good stuff in there. And, you know, maybe go check out some of the add-ons I mentioned. Hopefully I'll have an interview with him and maybe one or two other add-on authors and get some insight as to why they make them, how they make them, that sort of stuff, and if learning the language is pretty easy or not. And I guess I'll just catch you guys when I catch you. I'll talk to you later.